my sermon will not be bombastic, but it'll be practical. I'm going to say some things that you already know, probably said everything that I'm going to say in one way or another over the last many months, but I've not said it all at one time, and it'll be simple. But I think it will add to the life of our church, the depth and the strength of our church, and it's a timely sermon. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3, if you would please. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to, I want to recommend to anybody that is not here to hear this sermon that they get the CD and they listen to it, because it is such an important sermon in regard to the life of our church. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look at verse number 14, 1 Timothy 3:14. Stand with me if you will, please. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. The Bible says this: "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." We're going to talk about, the Bible says there, it says that thou oughtest to know, oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. God's telling us you ought to know how to behave yourself. Now, we're not going to talk about just running in the hallways and things like that. We're going to talk about tonight how to behave ourselves in this point or this part of the life of our church. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us now. God, may the practicality tonight help us to make our church strong, or may it continue the strength that you've already provided. Holy Spirit of God, take the simplicity of the lesson, but yet use it to make us wise. Give us a good night as we listen to the teaching, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'll say this again in a few minutes. Our church is experiencing revival. If you've never seen what revival is, you're seeing it. You're seeing what an old-time religion revival is. And someone said, well, it looks easy. Well, if it's easy, then why isn't everybody doing it? It's not as easy as it looks, but thank God that you can still have revival in this day and age. We know that we're getting close to, we hope, obtaining a new building for our church. God's hand has been upon us. It's very evident. It's evident in the growth that we've seen. It's evident in the spiritual growth that we're seeing. It's evident in the numerical growth that we're seeing. And it's evident in the unified spirit among our people. We're seeing many people saved, and on a weekly basis. We're having families join our membership on a regular basis. We're growing spiritually in our obedience to the Scripture and in our everyday lives. We weekly have visitors from the community. Just every week there's somebody new coming in to check us out and see what's going on. Our weekly offerings are exceeding our budgeted need by hundreds of dollars. We just had a great meeting with our teenagers, our youth revival or youth conference. Our auditorium and our parking lot are filled beyond capacity, and that consistently, not just on Sunday morning, but on Sunday night, as you all quite well can see. And on Wednesday nights, God's doing something. We raised over $100,000 in cash in about 1 month's time to help us with our building program. We raised over $75,000 in pledges to be given above our tithes and our faith promise over the next 3 years. We've made an offer on a building that has miraculously now been accepted, and the truth is they are now making that available to us at about a third of what the tax value is, which again, you just see God's hand all over what's happening here. We have a wonderfully unified, loyal, and strong spirit among our people. But the devil knows that too. The devil knows of the revival, and the devil would like to get involved. And just as strategically as God is moving, you can be dead sure the devil's not going to sit around and just watch it happen. He has a reason right now to oppose our church. And I think he has an idea where we're going and what we would like to accomplish. So I think he knows not only now is our church worthy of some of his attention, but in the future our church will be worthy of some of his attention. You know, why does the devil have to mess with the church and not doing anything? They're taking care of They're taking care of things themselves by not doing anything. But I'll promise you, you get people saved and you start growing and you stick with the old time way especially. That's irritating to the devil. As much as God loves the revival that's taking place in our church, the devil hates it. The devil hates it. We need to, on purpose, be on guard for the devil's desire to soil what God is doing. We need every member, and I'm talking about children and teenagers and adults, young adults and older adults. We need every new member and every long-term member to do your part. You do your part. Let's all make sure. I want to do my part. I want you to do your part. Hey, and let me make it personal. Don't you be the one that soils what God is doing here. Don't you be the one to cause it to be stifled. Don't be the one that brings that suppressed spirit that can hurt a revival like this. In the scripture we just read, Paul says that the people needed to know how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God. I think there are things that we ought to be alerted to and reminded of and coached on in regard to what God's doing here at our church. You know, when my wife and I, when we would take our children somewhere, and maybe we were taking them somewhere where it was wasn't a backyard playground. We were taking them to a finer place. We'd coach them. They'd all be in the car. And we'd say, now, don't be climbing on people's furniture. Don't put your feet on the furniture. You're not supposed to do that. And we would tell them, we would teach them propriety. Why? Well, we wanted our visit there to be successful. We didn't want to hurt somebody or hurt something. We're all God's children. And I think God comes along in our lives and He says, there's some ways that you ought to behave yourself. Tonight, I'm going to give all of us some simple instructions on how the membership of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church ought to behave themselves in light of, we think, a forthcoming new building of some sort. And so you know, if it's not the building we've been working on, it'll be another. We have wore them down on that building. And if we don't get that one, get ready. I'll go wear somebody else down on another one. We're not giving up. We won't turn back. But I believe God's got to give us someplace new, and I think it's forthcoming. But let me remind you then, as a result of the revival, and as a result of what God's doing, and as a result of this thing of going forward, there are just some things, as a pastor, that I want to say to all of us. First of all, I want you to be praying about this whole thing. You be praying about. Some of you are not praying people. You'd like to believe that you are, but you're not. Would you please really pray about this? If you've not prayed about a lot in your lifetime, I wish you would really pray about our need of a new building and our move. In Romans 12:12, it talks about continuing instant in prayer. Pray for God's protection over our revival. Pray that you don't mess it up. And somebody can help him just get a seat there in the back. We don't need him to come all the way to the front. Pray that you don't mess up the revival. Hey, I would appreciate it if everybody looked right this way. I would appreciate it if you'd pray for me. I don't ask God to give me a bunch of things to do, but I have been told by God there are certain things I am to do as the pastor of the church. And so I wish you'd pray for me that I would have the wisdom to know what to do and how to do it. But let's pray. Pray for the now we have to pray that we either lease this building or we sell this building. That's what the bank's waiting on right now. And I need some of you, you say, oh, you all are doing fine. Keep it up. We want you involved. We need everybody praying. Now, there comes a point sometimes when we've done most everything that we can do. Now we've got to turn to God. And we just need to bombard heaven and just pray and pray and pray. I need you to pray that we find a buyer or we lease this building. It is the one catch right now that is stopping us from going forward. I want you to pray for our deacons as we work on the details. And there's a lot of detail that goes into all this. I want you to pray that God is honored and Jesus is uplifted in everything that we're doing. I want you to pray that things go well with the banks as we work with them. I want you to pray that things go well. We have somebody that's selling the property. We need that. There's a lot of communication that goes on there. Pray that things fall into place. Hey, and I'll tell you this. Pray that God stops it if it's not right. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. If God doesn't want us to have that, that's okay. That would just mean God has something better. You mean nicer than that? You know, God's will is not always that you get something better. He just might have something that fits you more properly. And so, but pray. Hey, and folks, don't be alarmed. Our men met at prayer meeting yesterday morning, and we agreed that the men from time to time are going to be stopping in at our property, parking their car out here, and having a season of prayer. So if you drive by and see one of a car sitting out there, it may just be one of our men parked here praying, because we are going to start praying in an aggressive way about getting this thing done. Yesterday in the men's prayer meeting, we agreed God's perfect number is 7. We all agreed that we would begin praying 7 times a day at some point in our day, that God would help us to sell our building, get a leaser for our building, and help us to get into the new building. And our men, we coveted together. We said, as often as we can, we're going to use the altar during the altar calls. And we're just going to come down. We're just going to start praying that God would do something. But folks, let me explain. We could do a lot, but we can't do what God can do. And we'll work the business aspect of it. And we'll try to use wisdom, and we'll try to handle ourselves appropriately with the business people in the banks. But nobody can exceed what God can do. And we've got to keep God involved. Prayer is an issue in this whole thing. Number 2, be faithful. First of all, I said be praying. Now I want you to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I need you to be in all the church services. All the church services you can. Don't let our crowded, inconvenient, overflow crowd stop you from coming. When possible, schedule your work so you can be in church. When you miss church, I wish you'd get the CD or go online and listen to the sermon. I can't tell you how strategic each sermon is. Now, we've got some people here that take that very seriously. I can tell you who they are. They say, if I missed one, I'll get it. I'm going to listen to it. And you know something? I don't worry about them as much in their future attitude, because they know what's going on. But you know, the people that miss the church services all the time are the ones that, when they were given strategic information about behavior or about different things that need to be done, when they miss it all, then they're apt to mess up later on and find themselves becoming a part of the problem instead of a part of the solution, because they don't know what's going on. So listen to the, if you can't be here, listen to the sermons. Don't miss the business meetings. You say, oh, those things are boring. I believe that. There won't be business meetings in heaven. They'll have them in hell. That's, I think, where they came from. But right now, we have to have a few business meetings. And you say, oh, that's boring. I don't like it. Well, welcome to the club. I'm the pastor, and I don't like them either. But some of them are necessary, but be here for them. Hey, be faithful to your duties. Oh, this is so important. Why? Well, God has brought us thus far by our doing what we've been doing. Don't stop doing those things. I mean, you ever heard the old saying, if you got a winning lineup, don't change it? Okay, we've been doing something right. So let's keep doing what we're doing. Be faithful. Men, I need you to be at the prayer breakfast and the prayer meetings. That's where we give out so much information. Hey, when you get a job, try to make it so that you can be faithful to church. And whatever you do, just don't quit on church. Don't quit on God. Hang in there. You say, oh, I'm not that important. Let me explain something. We are a family. And every single part of the family is an important part of the family. And you say, well, I'm not that involved and I'm not that important. Well, you're misunderstanding this. The devil's already got your attitude. No, you are an important part. And God has plans, and you're a part of it. And when God looks at the whole of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, you have a piece of the puzzle, and God wants your piece to be in its place, doing what it's supposed to do, when it's supposed to be done, the way it's supposed to be done. And that's what you're supposed to do. Hey, I'm to do my part. You're to do your part. So don't quit on church. So be praying and be faithful. Number 3, be positive. Be positive. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good. It is good." You say, well, preacher, not everything is positive. Oh, I know that. But we won't have to worry about that. The negatives will be brought out. Your carnal nature and man's carnal, sinful nature and the devil, he'll be working on that. But may I say to all of us, let's be positive about what God is doing. Don't complain in public and private. Some of you think you're real dignified. Well, I didn't say a word when I was down at Gold Toes. You know, God's everywhere, bud, not just here. You're a little more religious than what you ought to be. You ought to just face something. God's at your house, and God's at where you work, and God's in the parking lot, and God's inside. And now let me say to you, complaining in private, you say, well, I just kept it private. Well, God heard it. And somebody else heard it. So may I say, learn to be positive. Don't discourage others with your discouraging opinions. Look on the bright side. Demonstrate faith in your conversations about what God's doing. Don't look for fault, but look for blessing. Look for blessing. I'm appalled at the way Christians can behave. Something can go wrong at the church, and within 24 hours, everybody knows. Something can go right at the church, and you've almost got to beg people to spread the word. Now, that's because of our carnal, sinful, worldly nature. Be positive. And could I recommend this to you? You ought to want the growth of God's church. You ought to want that. You say, why would you say that? There are people all over the place, not necessarily in our church. If you're here, I don't know that you don't want our church to grow, but there are places where people do not want their church to grow. They don't want it to grow. Here's the bad part about that. Jesus does. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. You know what he wants? He wants the church built. You think he's satisfied with the fact that you take somebody like Anheuser-Busch? Do you think he's satisfied with the fact that somebody wants to build that business and they've got more drive to build that than we have to build the kingdom of God? Come on! And so I think he wants it built. But every once in a while, there are people that just don't want the church to grow. You say, why? Well, that'll make it inconvenient for me. Did you know it's not all about you? But yes, it may. I'm not going to tell you a story. It may be a little inconvenient for you. You've already experienced how inconvenient it can become when the church is growing. But let me say, be positive. So we said, be praying, be faithful, be positive, and then be unified. Be unified. Number four, let's be unified. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is when... how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. You know what God expects us to do? To get along. To get along. We're to be unified. Now, let me explain. We're not going to unify with everybody. We don't get with people that believe wrong. But within God's church, we that are in the right kind of church, that preaches the right kind of doctrine, that takes the right kind of stand, there's to be a unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, so let me explain. We've got unity. We're on the same page at our church. Please, let me ask. Let's keep it that way. Don't start fusses with other people in the church. Don't do that. I'm counseling a pastor right now. You'll never know who he is. Nobody will ever know who he is. He said, I got a couple families in my church right now that are just destroying the atmosphere in my church. Their attitudes, their behaviors, and it's all about them, and they don't care about the church, and they don't care about how their behavior's hurting the church and all the people that it's going to hurt. And he said, what am I going to do? He said, it's breaking my heart. Now, folks, we've got unity in our church. Let's keep that unity. Now, to my knowledge, we don't have a problem with this right now, but let's not have a problem with this right now. I've seen it time and time again as God is taking a church to a new level. I've seen something pop up that creates a disunity. Then you got people taking sides on this side of the fight and people taking sides on this side of the fight, when the truth is you and I should have stayed on the same team with our dukes up fighting the devil instead of fighting each other. Don't let that happen. This is not a good time to develop a bad attitude. Now, we've not had this attitude in our church, but there are a lot of new people in our church because we've experienced growth. We can't start having the old crowd, new crowd mentality. Just so you all know, we're all to be Jesus's crowd, and we are all to stick together in a unity. And so God wants us to be unified. Don't criticize one another. Don't gossip about other church members. And it breaks my heart when I hear of church members that get on Facebook and they're out there blogging and saying things, negative things about other church members. Oh, knock that off. Knock that off. I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out when we get to heaven, all that trash is going to be done away with. You're just not going to be able to do that sort of thing. Now, nobody's come to me and told me that's happening in our church. But we keep the unity. Don't let it happen in our church. Don't fellowship with people that hate our church. Be kind to them, but you don't have to fellowship with them. I mean, if there are people that hate our church and hate that for which we stand, don't let them tamper with your attitude. Keep a right attitude. And I'm not telling you to be mean to them, and I'm not telling you to spit on them. We don't treat people that way. But you need to be careful if you spend time with people that just flat out don't like the old-time religion and don't like your church. Be careful. They could tamper with your spirit, and then you could bring that tampered spirit into the church, and you could hurt the revival. And we've got to hold this thing together right now. It's very, very important. Have good relationships with all our members. You know something? I'm not at odds with one single person in this room. And as far as I know, I'm not at odds with anybody that would be a part of this church. Now, I'm not telling you that you ought to be bosom buddies with everybody, because there are some people who are backsliding away from God, and there are times when we have to love from a distance and encourage from a distance. But let me say, you ought to have in your heart no animosity toward anybody that's a part of the church. That's your responsibility. You say, well, but they just don't like me. Just relax. There's nothing you can do about the fact that they don't like you, unless it is to knock off the bad attitude. But the one I can control is me. Me. You may not love me, and I may not have any control over that, but you can't stop me from loving you. You can't stop me from being good to you. You can't stop me from wanting to have peace with you. And so, hey, have a good relationship with all the members. And let me say, if your heart's not here, get it transferred. Get it transferred. And I'll tell you something else some of you need to do. You need to stop living in the past. Oh, I remember back when, and you might think I'm talking about the past of Twin Rivers. I'm not. I'm talking about people from everywhere that used to go to another church and still in love with that church, and your heart's not here. Did you know where you're at right now? You're here. Now, I can't make you love my church. I can't. But I would recommend something to you. If you don't love your church and if you don't like your church, maybe you ought to go find one that you could love and you could like. You say, aren't you afraid you're going to lose any members? I'd rather have people go someplace else and be happy than to be here and make me miserable. You say, you got to figure out how to keep members, preacher. You got to figure out how to keep members. I've never tried to keep members. Never. You say, what do you try to keep? God. I want to keep God. I want God in my church. And if members want to do right, then if I've got God in my church, God will be the He'll be at the top of the totem pole of what happens around here. Now, I think we ought to be good to people and be kind to people and forgiving with people. But I've got news for you. God doesn't want anybody to stop His revival. When a revival's going, God wants to keep that going. So it's not all about just keeping members. It's about keeping God as interested in the church. And boy, when you get the momentum of a revival and God has taken interest in the church, you ought to protect that. You ought to do what you can. And every one of us ought to protect that. Every one of us ought to be saying, I want to make sure I'm not the one that tampers with it. And I want to see it protected. So, listen, if your heart's not here, get it transferred. Stop living in the past. Become a part of the team. And let me tell you this. Now, for sure, we're going to have conflict. Have you ever stopped and looked around the men in our church? There are a bunch of military men. There are a bunch of business owners. There are a bunch of bullheaded, cocky, strong men in our church. Now tell me something. Do you think it's always going to be lovey-dovey? No, there are going to be times when one man's going to say to the another, hurr. That's what men do. But you know what you do? You realize it. You humbly apologize, straighten it out, don't let it fester, and we go on. I don't want a church with a bunch of mamby-pamby, sissy, britches men that are doormats. No, they've got to be men. They've got to stand up for what they believe. But they also have to have enough good sense to know how to apologize and get right with one another so they don't destroy the spirit of the church. And today you got enough hairy-legged big women that will fight you on things. The women need to learn how to get along too. But may I say to everybody in this building, whether it's teenagers, it's men, or it's women, look, folks, we're a bit opinionated, but what we better do is we better learn how to work through the opinions and shake hands and see, look eyeball to eyeball and say, I was wrong. Forgive me. Let's not let this come between us. Be unified. And then number 5, be flexible. Be flexible. And because of this, we're going to start an aerobics class here at the church. I've hired Richard Simmons to come in. Be flexible. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 4, yielding pacifieth great offenses. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. You'd be shocked at how many wars I divert by absorbing pain. I yield and I absorb. And you know, sometimes you take a punch and it just settles things. You say, well, I don't want someone to be able to take a swat at me and hurt me. I've been hurt many times as I'm absorbing so that other people are not hurt. But the Bible says, yielding pacifieth great offenses. Folks, learn to be flexible. Now, let me make something very clear. I'm not flexible when it comes to the doctrines of the Bible. I'm not now, nor will I be. I'm not flexible. There's some things about the Bible that we're not flexible on. We don't compromise on. Hey, but you know what? You're to be flexible about your opinions. You're to be flexible about your preferences. You'd be shocked how many people have preferences that they can't doctrinally prove are scriptural. That's what I believe. That's what you believe. But what does God believe? We're not going to be flexible in our doctrine. And so, you know, there are certain biblical standards of separation that I don't flex on. I'm patient and I let people grow. If some of you say, well, preacher, do you still believe whatever I used to believe? I still believe it. I may be patient with some people trying to come along, get them to grow so that they could get past some of it. But yes, I still believe. But listen, we're to be flexible. Listen this. Be willing to adjust yourself to the need of the moment. Be flexible about things like your parking spot. Sorry, I keep saying this. I'm trying to help us. Be flexible about your seat, your pew. Be flexible about the temperature in the auditorium. And so you all know, there are times when you are wiping the sweat off your brow. Then I look somewhere else and there's some, you know, woman going... You talk about dilemma. I'm sitting up here watching one sweat and another shiver. So what do? I count the sweaters and the shiverers, and if they're equal, I think the temperature's just right. Be flexible. And just so you all know, there was a time when there wasn't air conditioning in the church. And the people still met in a building, and they still had church, and they might have perspired a little bit, but they were not whiny people. And they had it in North Carolina, by the way. Where it's hot. And in Arizona, where it's hot. Listen, be flexible. When it comes to, hey, if we get a new building and we have to paint a wall. You know, I've seen churches start wars over what color to paint the wall. Be flexible. You know, that's not a doctrine of the Bible. That's not worth fighting over. That's not worth it. That's not worth the time. Listen. Non-doctrinal matters. You've got to learn how to put a little flex in you. But be flexible. Listen, realize this. Realize the buying of a building, the selling or leasing of a building, the relocating process remains a little unpredictable for all of us. So what do? Learn to roll with the punches. Learn to roll with the punches. So what have I said? Be praying. Be faithful. Be positive, be unified, be flexible, and then be consistent in your giving. So you know, the bank is monitoring it. They know what we promised. They know what we said we would do. You say, what did you tell them we were going to do? I told them what you said you were going to do. That's all I did. Malachi 3:8 says, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? I want you to tithe properly. That's on the growth and benefits of your income. Keep up your faith promise commitment. Give your weekly building fund pledge. Be honest. Be honest about it. Give your cash. You know, some of you promise to give an immediate cash gift. Give it. If you've not already, give it. Hey, and if you've not made a 3-year commitment for a weekly amount, make it. You say, oh, I'm glad we're past that. Well, you can still get in on it. If you now can make a cash donation, you can still do it. And may I recommend you keep yourself employed or get a job. I've had at least one little child come to me and said, "Preacher, I wish I could get a job, because if I could get a job, I'd buy the new building." I'm talking about like a six-year-old. I'm thinking, right there, that's a future deacon. Could I recommend that if you go on vacation, that you not spend your tithe on your vacation? It goes to God. Some of you need to pay back God some of the tithes that you've stolen from Him already. Do you know that in the average church, if everybody would pay God back everything that they should have been tithing, you'd have no financial need ever again? Say, have it. God forgives. But I doubt that it's off the record yet. All sorts of people don't want to tithe. And, "Oh, God, forgive me." And you think, okay, that took care of last year. Going to do the same thing this year. "Oh, God, I didn't get, forgive me." You think God's that dumb? Try it with the bank. The bank, you go in and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." They'll say, "Oh, we accept your apology. Now we're going to take your house away from you." Be consistent in your giving. Be unified. Be flexible. Be positive. Be praying. Be faithful. And may I recommend that you be spiritual. Be spiritual. Romans chapter 8, verse number 6, it says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Folks, while we're growing, you know, one of the places it's easy to get backslidden is in a revival type spirit. You say, why? All sorts of things are happening. And you know what? Something will happen here without your contribution. So you can step back. You can get backslidden. You can stop reading your Bible. You can stop caring. And the church goes on and you think it's okay. It's not. You're to do your part. Stay spiritual. Keep reading your Bible. Keep having a daily prayer time. Walk in the Spirit. Stay sexually moral. Tell others about Jesus. Be more faithful to church, not less. If you've been saved and never baptized after salvation, get baptized. If you've been saved and baptized, then you need to join the church. And those are three prerequisites to do anything around here anyway. Why? You say, why? That's what the Scripture says. There are people you might need to join the church. Could I recommend you stay spiritual? How about love Jesus? If I say to you, "Do you love Jesus?" Most people say, "Oh, yes, I do." Does He know that? When was the last time you told Him that? Love Him. Love others. Love your enemy. Love your mother-in-law. We'll call the roll. But be spiritual. Don't let your sin damage the revival. Don't let your sin damage other members. Don't let your sin damage your church. Don't let your sin, don't let it damage you. You'd be shocked. When we go out into sin and people know that we go to this church and then they find out how we've been behaving, you'd be shocked at how you hurt the reputation of your church. Now, we'll love you anyway. And we'll help you. And that's just a part of the fallout of helping people. But God knows none of us ought to want to be guilty of that. Hey, don't damage the revival. Hey, don't damage your pastor. And I don't say this because I'm trying to look for protection for myself, but I can't tell you how many times pastors have been hurt. And as a result of it, the revival crumbles. I've watched mega revivals crumble because we're just not using sense about what we're doing. Don't get backslidden and quit. Let me make this very clear. We need 110% of the people in this room to do their part. Everybody, do your part. I'm going to be quick. Listen, be a servant. Be a servant. Paul said, "I made myself servant unto all." Folks, the best attitude to take is, "I just want to serve. I just want to serve." Be willing to do any little thing to make it better for everybody else. And let me say that again. Be willing to do any little thing to make it better for everybody else. That's a servant. Don't look to be in charge. Humbly look to be involved. Don't try to get your way. Want God to have His way. Keep a servant's attitude. Don't try to force yourself into a leadership position. Let God do that for you if that's what He wants. The Bible teaches that promotion comes from above, not from beneath. You're not to self-promote. If God wants you, did you know something? God knows who you are and what you're capable of. And if God wants you promoted, He'll take care of it. You say, I'm just going to help Him. You might be better off just letting Him attend to that. You know, Jesus was a servant. Y'all remember we had a Valentine banquet a couple years ago over at the Flame. There's a guy there that I think he's in charge of. He might even be one of the owners. His name's Smoke. Cynthia, is Smoke the owner? And he's a chef over there too. And he's about 10 foot tall. Smoke's a great big old boy. We were having our Valentine banquet. And I like going around and I like helping serve. And I was going to people's tables and pouring coffee and pouring water and cleaning up plates. And Smoke see me. He said, "Oh, Pastor Owens." He pulled me aside. He said, Pastor Owens, you shouldn't be doing that. And I said this very kindly and sincerely. I said, "Smoke, all I want to do is be like Jesus. Please don't ever stop anybody from being like Jesus." He said, "Well, here, take this water and serve." Let me tell you all something. All of us ought to be concerned about the rest of us. And really, there should not be a big shot mentality. You know, I do not have to go around this church and bully my way around. "I'm the pastor here. This is how it's going to be." You know, we're all just trying to help each other. Now, I have a God-given responsibility to lead the church, and I'm responsible for the church. And I wanted to attend to that, but, you know, I don't want to do it in such a way that I got to carry a big stick around and swat people on the head all the time. If we all just keep the right attitude, we're going to do our best to serve one another and serve Jesus and serve the church. It's all going to be just fine if we'll do it that way. Be a servant. Then let's continue to be productive. First Colossians 1:10 says, being fruitful in every good work. Folks, don't stop your soul winning. You say, "But preacher, we got more people than what we know what to do with them now." But wait. Is heaven full yet? No. Is hell giving up? No. But we got to keep on being productive. Keep telling people about Jesus. You say, "Well, you got all sorts of people going out soul winning now." Yeah, but we need you too. We need you too. We're building an army. And we want to get people born again. Don't stop bringing visitors. You say, "But preacher, if I invite a visitor, they're going to come in here and they're going to feel uncomfortable. I mean, when I look over and see my visitor going, it's really cramped in here. I can hardly sing." I understand. See, it's a little embarrassing. I'd rather it be embarrassing and continue to grow than to throw in the towel or to logic away the importance of reaching people. Keep bringing visitors. Don't stop building your Sunday school class. Don't stop building that ministry. Don't stop building that bus route. Don't stop inviting people to the services. And I'll tell you something. When we get our new building, we need to grow quickly. You say, why? Because we're to reach everybody we can. I hear people say this all the time. Our country is such a mess. I agree. We better do something fast. Keep praying for the backslidden to return. Just keep being productive. And this is my last point. Be patient. Be patient. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, be patient toward all men. We have been uncomfortable with our building and how cramped we are. We've been that way for a while now. And I apologize. I joke about it, but you just have to be patient. Keep a patient attitude. Be calm and positive and kind. Change is always uncomfortable. And I'm hoping that we're going to have some change sometime soon. But just be patient. Much of what we face is out of our hands now. As you all know, by faith, we've just been pushing everything as far forward as we can. And we might have laughed about it when I said, you know, they've accepted our offer. Only problem we have now is we don't have any money. But by faith, we have pushed this thing as far as we can push it. And that's all we knew to do. A major part of this now is in our hands prayer-wise, but God's just going to have to bring us somebody to buy this building or to lease this building. And so we've got to be patient. See, patience is not laziness. It's us doing all we can, but waiting for God's timing and for God to do His part. That's all we can do. I think God has a timing. I think we need to trust Him. Listen, Paul said to the people of his day, he said, "I want to talk to you about how to behave." Now, at this time in our life, These behaviors are a little extra important. Be praying. Be faithful. Be positive. Be unified. Be flexible. Be giving. Be spiritual. Be a servant. Be productive and be patient. Right now, those are very important to our church. Those qualities are good qualities all the time. But right now, maybe in an extra way, are those important. And as we get closer and closer, when we get ready to actually make a physical transfer, I'm preparing a sermon. We don't want to lose our spirit. We don't want to lose our excitement. We don't want to lose any of that. There's a way to do it. You don't assume it. You plan it. You organize it. We want to keep that intact. Let's just pull together. And let's all behave ourselves right for the sake of our church and the revival we're experiencing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, I welcome you to the Savior. And although there's a big group of people in here that have received Christ as Savior, just in the case that you're not saved, if you're not born again, you come. You just get my attention. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I believe there are people in this building tonight. God has spoken to your heart. And in a variety of ways, let's pull together to keep what God's doing here going in the right direction. I'm going to invite you in a special way. I'm going to invite you to pray. I think we need just an extra moment at the altar call tonight, because we really need to get down to business and get God's attention. We've got to convince God we want that building. We want this soul. We've got to move forward. I'm going to ask that we all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know what I think I'll do if I could? If you're a man and you're physically able and you're willing to come, will you come? And men, just come and pray for our church. Rachel, go ahead and play for us if you would. Men, teen boys, if you'll come and just pray and say, God, please help us. Help us. Help us to go forward. And ladies, if you want to come now, you may. I just wanted the men to come first, just as for the example of it. Say, well, I can't come very close forward. Get on your knees right there at your pew, but ask God to do something. And don't be in a hurry. Let's take a moment. Pray. Ask Him to continue the revival. Ask Him that you not be a hindrance to it. Ask Him to help us sell our building. Ask Him to help us lease it or whatever must happen. We've got to go forward. We've got to. We want to do something for God and in a greater way. Just pray and ask Him to help. Some of you need to pray 7 times a day with the men. Churches everywhere would like to have revival. We're experiencing it. Let's not let it go. Let's not let it die off. Let's keep it going. You say, the devil's working overtime on me. Well, that must mean he wants you to be a part of the revival. When you're done praying, don't make the people behind you feel like they have to move for you to get back to your seat. Kind of be still. You might just have to stand and wait for a moment. That way they can continue to pray. Oh, some of you ought to thank God your children are seeing an old-time revival. They're watching. They're watching the growth of a church. And by the way, they're watching it in the old-time way, not the modern contemporary version of temporary revival. No, old-time religion, believing the right way, taking a stand, believing in holiness and separation and godliness. I'll say this to you. If you've been saved and never baptized, you need to do that. Sometime you just need to mention, I want to get baptized. We'll set it up for you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you have been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you may join the membership of this church. But I'll recommend to you, don't join our church if you don't like what you see, because what you see is what you get. Say, well, I'll come here and change. You won't change our church. You just make a mess for yourself. You say, do I have to agree with you 100% to join your church? No, but it'd be a good idea that you agree with God. I've had people that have come to see me from out of town talking about joining our church. I said, I don't think this is a place for you. I had a guy that all he wanted to do is criticize everything about everywhere he's ever been. Came to see me. I said, you won't like this place either. He was shocked. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm looking for blessing. Thank God the people that are here tonight are the right kind of people. Thank God for that. And that's what we're looking for. Thank you, Rachel.